All right, Trebosai, good morning. Good morning. Good Chodesh to everyone. Let us begin. First of all, I want to begin by thanking our sponsors for this morning's daf. To begin to thank our Talmud Torah sponsor for the month of Sivan, Justin and Abigail Rosemore, for dedicating all of the Shiurim and Drashos this month in memory of their beloved son, Kobe, Yaakov, David Zichron Levracha, Ben Yosef Tzadok. We thank our Talmud Torah sponsor for the month of Sivan, Allen and Sumirowitz and family, Jason, Deborah, Justin, Rebecca, Mindy, and Simcha, and all of the grandchildren in the Zechus of Refuah Shalema for Sue, for Shulamis Tova, Bas Mindel. We hope that in the merit of all of our Talmud Torah, she will have a complete and enduring Refuah. We thank our DAF sponsors. We thank our DAF sponsors, Maish and Devorah Wertesheim, in memory of Devorah's mother, Leah Bas Bernhardt, and we thank our DAF sponsors, Gavi and Sheena Cohen, for dedicating the shiur this morning, in memory of Gavi's grandfather, Mr. Meir Axman. We hope that under the merit of our Talmud Torah, all of the neshamas will have an aliyah, and the families in Nechama. And Abosi, with that, let us begin. So today's DAF is Ayin Tes 79, and we are picking up on the top of Ayin Tes, actually about 6 lines down from the top on Ayin Tes Amud Aleph. So I'll say also a thank you to Rabbi Yehuda Neuberger for giving the shiur last night, long daf, extensive shiur. We thank him very much for the preparation, for the beautiful insights. And we'll say with that, let us begin. So we're continuing with the Mishnah, and the topic over here being how much of a particular item does one have to carry out in order to be chayav for hotzah. So if you remember, again, we've already seen this yesod that hotzah, one is only chayav for transporting an item if one transports a unit of chashivos, a unit of importance. So obviously, depending on the item, will determine its chashivos, will determine its size of chashivos. So it says, or, for example, again, if one goes in and carries out leather, or is a hide or leather, kedei la'asos kamiya. So the Mishnah said, you have to carry out enough leather in order to go ahead and make an amulet. So says the Gemara, Baimine Rava me Rav Nachman. So Rava asked Rav Nachman, Hamotzi arbe kama. If one goes in and carries out leather, how much hide is one chayiv for carrying out? Amar leki disnan, what we learned in the Mishnah. Or kedei la'asos kamiya. You have to carry out enough leather in order to be able to make an amulet. So an amulet's worth leather, that's the amount that you are chayiv for carrying out. Ay la'avdo bekama. How much do you have to carry out? If, let's say again, the leather is going to be tanned, how much do you have to carry out? Amar le loshna. Siba say the assumption is that halacha lemaisa, an amulet is written on tanned leather. So what happens if a person is going to go ahead and, Rashi says, la'aved, or la'avad, or ha'omid la'abdo, va'adayin lo'avdo, become a shiur hotzaso. So we're assuming that when the Mishnah talks about the amount of leather necessary to go ahead and make an amulet on, that is already leather that has been tanned, already leather that has been processed. So now, that's the amount, processed leather, so tanned leather, the amount to write an amulet. What happens if halacha lamaisa, one is carrying or one has unprocessed or untanned leather? How much does one have to carry out on Shabbos in order to be chayiv? Amar le loshna. He said there's no difference. In other words, there's no distinction between tanned leather, untanned leather. The amount is the same. Enough to write on it a kamiya, an amulet. Umunat temra. And again, how do you know, ultimately, again, that there's no distinction between tanned leather and untanned leather? Kiddisnan. Hamalabin vahaminafeitz vahatsovea vahatava shiuro kimali rochav hasid kafo. So we'll say again. Now the Mishnah is talking about over here in terms of wool. So remember again, malavin is one who's whitening or cleaning wool. Minafeitz, combing, sovea, dyeing, tava, weaving. So the amount of wool that one is chayiv for carrying out is kimali rochav hasit kafo. So Rashi says, sit, kedei hefesh etzba v'yama. So sit is the amount of distance between two fingers. So if you go ahead and you carry out the amount of wool as the distance between two fingers, ultimately, you're chayiv. Now, what's interesting about this statement, even though we're not talking about wool, what's interesting about this is no matter what stage of processing the wool is in. So whether ultimately, again, you're up to the stage of processing, of whitening it, or of combing it, apparently, again, the stage of processing has no impact on the amount of wool for which you are chayiv for carrying it out. In other words, the amount is the same, independent of the processing stage that you are up to. V'ha'oreg beizchutin. But if one goes ahead and weaves two threads, shi'uro kimali rochav hasit kafu. Ultimately, again, the sheer same idea is the amount of the double thing, the amount of the space between fingers. Alma, the Rabbi will say, now the point is, for our purposes, what do you see from this? Alma, kivon de letvia kai, shi'uro kitavui. What you see from here is that since the wool is fit, is going to be usable for spinning, for spinning it into wool. Therefore, again, it has the same shear as wool that is already spun. So we'll say, just to understand what's happening over here, what we're showing is that wool that is in the process of being refined has the same shear for hotsaah as wool that has already been processed. So you see that materials that are in the process of being processed have the same shear as the fully processed material. Therefore, back to our leather discussion. Hachanami, kevan de la abdo kai, shiur kimu ubad. Therefore, again, same thing by leather. Since leather is in the process of ultimately being tanned, or it's omade, it's ready to be tanned, it has the same shear as leather that is already tanned. The shalo la abdo kibikamo. And I'm going to say, so again, so now what we've established according to the Gemara is whether the leather is actually tanned or whether it is going to be tanned, it has the same shear. The shear for that leather is the amount to write a kamiya. I vishola abdo bekamo. What happens if you have leather that's never going to be tanned? Right? That's not the intent. That's not the use of the leather. So what's its shear? Amrle loshna. He says still there's no distinction. Apparently what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that the shear for leather is going to be the amount of a kamiya, whether the leather ultimately, again, is tanned, is going to be tanned, or apparently even if it's never going to be tanned. So the Gemara says, is that true? Are you literally telling me? So I will say, I could understand if you want to tell me that halacha lemaisa, the shear for leather that is tanned and leather that is going to be tanned is the same. I could wrap my head around that. But now what the Gemara is actually suggesting is that the shear is going to be the same for leather that is tanned, will be tanned, and will never be tanned. So is that true? The Gemara says, can you really make that? Can you really say that all of those leathers have the same shear? Veloshani, bein mu'ubad l'shein mu'ubad, isve, reze kasha, hamotzi samanim shiruyim, kedei litzboa bahen dugma li'ira. So we'll say, if one goes ahead and takes out samanim, or spices or herbs, shiruyim, that have been soaked. Now, we'll say, if you look at Rashi for just a moment, so Rashi says over here, actually, not yet. So if one takes out samanim, so herbs that have already been soaked, so how many of the herbs do you have to carry, or how much of the herbs do you have to carry out in order to be chayiv? Kedei litzboa bahen dugma, enough to go ahead and dye a sample patch. If you look at Rashi, dugma, kilomer ma'at kein shemar lo dugma, lo marotz atabazeh. So we'll say, so for example, let's say somebody normally sold dyes. So what you would do is, in order to go ahead and sell your wares, you would dye patches of material as examples, samples of the dye. So how much of a dye, how much of the herbs are you chayiv for carrying out on Shabbos? Sa'aloch lamaisa, if you carry out enough soaked herbs to be able to make a sample patch, that's what you're chayiv for. The Gemara says, li'ira. Ultimately, again, the Gemara just gives Rashi says Li'ira is v'hu kashir atzarach Li'ira shel gardi liston pikana shepakis ha'arev nesunaba. This also happens to be enough to go ahead and put in the top of the weaver's bobbin, which is a part of the loom that controls the warp thread. V'ilu b'samanu she'enu shruyin. Rabbi says, yeah, we see, interestingly enough, by herbs that are not soaked, or right, by herbs that are not soaked, what's the halacha? Tanan, klipe agozin the klipe rimonim, sotis upua, kade litzpoa bohen beged katan lefi safka. Yet we'll say, interestingly enough, when it comes to herbs that are not soaked, we learn that what? That if you have the shells of agosim, shells of nuts, or shells of rimonim, of pomegranates, or sata sapua, these are different types of herbs, what's the halacha? You have to carry out enough to go ahead and color the small beged that a woman wears on the top of her hat. So we'll say, so what do you see from here? You see from here that halacha lemaisa, there's a different shear, there's a different amount for herbs before they're soaked and herbs after they're soaked. So we'll say, if this is true by herbs, then bepashtos again, why would it not apply by leather as well? Second line, we'll say, ayin tesem with aleph. Second wide line, excuse me. Lefi shein adam torech lishros saman and litzpos b'hem dugma li'ira. Because we'll say, ultimately, again, it's very simple. Because halacha l'maisa, a person is not going to go ahead. If a person is going to soak herbs, apparently, again, soaking herbs is a process. It's an avoda. And a person is only going to do that if they have a significant amount of material to dye. But if they have a relatively small amount of material, just like the little bit of material that a woman wears on top of her hat, so a person is not going to dye a batch of herbs for something so small. I vahari zar onigino. But yet, Rabbi say again, what about zar onigino? Literally means seeds, garden seeds. Before you plant them, tnan we learned zar onigino pachos mikrogeres. So we'll say, halacha l'maisa, if you carry out garden seeds on Shabbos, halacha l'maisa, even if you carry out less than a grogeres, less than the volume of a dried fig, you're going to be chayif. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer, chamisha. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says, no, you have to carry out at least 5 seeds. Now that's all before the seeds are planted. Vilu baser dizarinu, yet interestingly enough, after they've been planted, tnan zevel v'chol hadak, if you take out, zevel literally is manure, or compost, fertilizer, choladak, fine sand, kadei lezaba bo kalach shalkruv. Even if you carry out just enough to fertilize one stalk of cabbage, dear Rabbi Akiva, v'chum sino kadei lezaba krisha, enough to go ahead and fertilize a leek. So we'll say, again, so you see from here that there's a distinction between things before they're planted and after they're planted. Ha'it marla amara papa, ha'dizriya ha'dolozriya. Again, this is before it's planted, and this is when it's not been planted. Lefi she'in adam torech lahotzi nema achas lizriya. Because the general will say, a person is not going to go ahead and carry out one seed in order to plant it. So will say, what we're beginning to see is as follows. That halacha l'maisa, here, just to understand the context, what the Gemara essentially said is that when it comes to a hide, when it comes to leather, so what the Gemara is suggesting is that the shear for leather is going to be the same, whether the leather is tanned, is not tanned, and is apparently even if the leather is not going to be tanned. Yet the Gemara contrasts that with other items where you see halacha l'maisa that the shear for importance changes ultimately again depending on the state of the individual, so of the entity. So the seeds before they're planted will have one shear versus the seeds after they're planted will have another shear. The herbs that are soaked will have one shear before they're soaked, one shear after they're soaked. And I'm going to say all the Gemara is essentially saying is that halacha l'maisa in these situations, there's not really one principle across the board because halacha l'maisa, all of this is driven by chashivos. What creates a unit of chashivos for the item? V'haritietu'ai, what about mortar? Before it's kneaded, legable means it's kneaded. In other words, before it's made into mortar, Tanya, we learned, modim chacham Rabbi Shimon, b'motziv shofchem l'rushes harabim, shishi'uram b'revius. Right, the chachamim agree with Rabbi Shimon, that Allah HaLamayis, if one brings out shofchem, Rabbi says shofchem literally is wastewater. If one brings out wastewater into rushes harabim, that the halacha is revius. V'avinoban, we ask, wastewater, shofchem l'may chazi, what is wastewater usable for? Ultimately, again, wastewater could be used to go ahead and create tit, to create mortar. And yet, interestingly enough, after it's kneaded, in other words, after you make the mortar, what's the halacha? Tanyo, tit kedei legabel bahen pikur. You're chayiv if you carry out enough of the mortar in order to make a pikur. So we saw this in yesterday's daf already. Pikur, remember again, represents the utensil that you would use to go ahead and house molten metal. So the pikur is the opening, which is a very small amount. Hasanami kida amron lefishin adam torech b'am gaba lesatit lasos bo pikur. It's as we said before, because halacha lemaisa, if a person's going to make mortar, he's not just going to make enough mortar to go ahead and make the pikur. Rather, if he's going to make mortar, he's going to make a larger amount. Tashma, derme bichaber ab mishrein deula, shlosha orosim. Supposed to hear the Gemara says there are three different types of hide. So this is very interesting. This is actually going to lead into our next discussion as well. Three different types of hide. What are the three different types of hide? Matzah, v'chipa, v'diftera. These are the names. Matzah, chipa, and diftera. Matzah kimashmo'o. So I'll say a matzah hide is just as it sounds. Delo maliach, udelo kamiach, udelo afit. But it's very interesting. So a matzah hide, just like matzah, essentially has no additives. So a matzah hide has no additives as well. In other words, there's nothing really done in the processing of such a hide, right? It's not salted, right? It's not salted. It's not treated with flour, and it's not treated with gallnut juice. Interestingly enough, as we're going to see, so hides were processed in different ways. So a matzah hide was essentially an unprocessed hide, not salted, not treated with flour, and not treated with gallnut juice. The kamashiro, and we'll say how much on Shabbos, what's the shear, how much, if you carry this type of matzah hide, how much are you chayev for? Or let me say differently, how much of this type of hide do you have to carry in order to be chayev on Shabbos? Tani Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, kedei latzur bo mishkolos kitana, enough to go ahead and wrap a small weight. The kama, and how much is such a weight? Am Rabaye, riva de pumpadisa. It's a quarter of a litra, right? A quarter of a litra of a pumpadisa weight. If you look at Rashi, this is Rashi in the widest lines. It's about six lines right from the bottom. Riva de riva de pumpadisa. Rova litra shal pumpadisa. Derech hasosrum latra mishkolo shal feres. Kadesh lo tifchas. Lefi shamshachas shamateches nishchakes tamid v'nifchas milas. This is actually very interesting. So apparently what they used to do is as follows. They would go ahead and they would have these weights. So let's say in this case we're talking about, again, a quarter of a litra. This was the unit of a weight. Now what they would do is, because these weights were made of softer type metals, so the concern was that over time, the amount of metal would diminish. Every time you put it on the scale, because it bangs against the scale, the metal would diminish. So what they used to do is, they would wrap the weight in a little bit of parchment, and a little bit of hide, in order to prevent the metal itself from eroding. So the Gemara says, this matzah hide, how much matzah hide are you chayif for going ahead and carrying on Shabbos? Enough hide to be able to wrap the quarter of the litra of the pumpadisa weight in it. That's the shear. Okay, next. Chipa. So we'll say, what's a chipa hide? Chipa hide is dimaliach velo kamiach velo afitz. So a chipa hide was salted, but it was not treated with flour and not treated with gallnut juice. Okay, and how much are you chayv kamashiro kidisnan or kadei laasos kamiya? So we'll say, interestingly enough, that's where, again, chipa is already when it's called, or it's already called the hide, and your chayiv, if you carry out the amount that it takes, the amount necessary to write an amulet, to write the kamiya on it, diftera. We'll say, what's diftera? What's diftera parchment? Diftera is dimaliach, v'kamiach, v'lo afitz. It is treated with salt, it's treated with flour, but it is not treated with gallnut juice. V'kamashi uro. Aye, and how much is the shear of this item? How much is the shear of diftera? Kadei lichtov alav es haget. Ultimately, again, enough to write a get. So a large enough piece of diftera parchment to be able to write a get. Good. So we'll say, what do you see from here? Katani mihas kadei latzor bo mishkolos kitana. That was, and I look at Rashi for just a moment. Katani mihas al mashir de'in mu'ubad nafesh. So we'll say, what I want to point out is something very interesting. So let's go back for just a moment. The most unprocessed form of parchment or of hide that the Gemara discussed was matzah, right, was matzah. That's unprocessed tide. That's unprocessed tide, right? It's not treated ultimately, again, it's not treated with salt, not with flour, not with gallnut juice. And yet, what did the Gemara say the shear was? The shear for that amount was enough to go ahead and wrap the quarter litra weight. Now, the Gemara says, just want to point out, ultimately, again, that is a larger amount than the amount to go ahead and write an amulet. So what do you see from here? You see from here that untanned hide does have a larger shear than a tanned hide. In other words, we'll say, we were trying to say, we're kind of looping back all the way now. We were saying before, the Gemara wanted to suggest that halacha lemaisa, whether the hide is tanned or untanned, the shear is the same. Lasos kamiya. From here we see that is not the fact. From here we see that the Gemara is giving a shear that ultimately, again, enough to go ahead and wrap the weight. That's different than the shear to write the kamiya. To which the Gemara says, what do you see from here? Katani mihas. Katani mihas kedei lasad ba mashkolas kitano. To which the Gemara says that case is different. Why? That's talking about a moist hide. Take a look at Rashi Bibishula. Lach kemosha hofshat kari bishula. We'll say when the hide is still moist, when it is first removed from the animal, that is called bishula. That is called bishul. It's called moist. Therefore, again, shulach, da kanti lo chazi li'ibud, aval yovesh chazi li'ibud, v'chivin de chazi li'ibud, chavikim ubud. So we'll say, now the Gemara is making a distinction. Ein achinami, you're right. Before the hide is dried out, then ein achinami, it has a different kind of shear. Right? That's called bishula. When the hide is still moist, it has a different kind of shear. Once the hide dries out, then it has one shear. The shear, from the time that it dries out, it doesn't matter, again, what stage of processing it is in subsequently. Once it dries out, the shear for the hide will be the amount to write a kamiya. So we'll say, again, according to where the Gemara is holding right now is, there are two shiurim for a hide for otzah on Shabbos. When it's moist, or before it's dried out, so apparently, again, the shear will be the amount necessary to wrap a quarter litra weight. Once it is dried out, there is one shear, one amount for otzah, for a hide of Shabbos, and that is the amount halacha lemaisa to go ahead and write the kamiya. I have a hatna, but we learned beged shlosha shlosha. So we'll say now again by the halachas of tuma, we've seen this before, right? That the shear for a beged is 3x3, right? Shlosha shlosha medras. So if the beged is 3x3, it allows it to contract tumas medras. Hasak dalet al dalet. Sackcloth is dalet al dalet. These are the amounts we'll say. These are the measurements necessary to be able to contract tuma. Ha'or hey al hey, leather, a hide, is hey al hey. Mapas vav al vav, a mat, 6x6. Bein le medras, bein le mes. V'tani ala, ha'beged v'hasak v'ha'or kishir l'tuma. And yet, Rabbi, we learned also that what? The Braisa says that a beged, a sack, and or, that whether it's a garment, a sackcloth, or leather, a hide, the shear for Tumah is the same shear for Shabbos, which Rabbi say obviously is a much, right? A much larger shear. So you see over here that halacha lemaisa, that the shear is larger, to which the Gemara says, Hu bikurtubla, right? Bikurtubla. What's kurtubla? She says, Mevashlo beroskin, that's talking about the type of hide that has been cooked. If the hide's been cooked, Rabbi Ozai, then the only thing it is really usable for is furniture. As she says, Mevashlo beroskin, umiskasha lisheva love, lechasos tulufko, umitos laso shulchan. So I say, Seinachinami, if the hide has been cooked, then the only thing it is usable is for furniture, then it'll have a different shear. So Rabbi Ozai, bottom line, halacha lemaisa, what comes out of this sugya? Essentially, Once the hide has dried out, it has the same shear. Whether that hide is going to be tanned, not going to be tanned, once the hide is quote-unquote dried, the shear fahotza'a on Shabbos is the amount to write a kamiya. Halacha lemaisa, before the hide has dried out, right, it's still moist, enachinami will have a different shear. The shear for that is the amount of hide necessary to be able to wrap a quarter litra of the pumpadisin weight. Then you're chai for that otzah. The only other exception apparently will be if you boil the hide. If you boil the hide, then ein achinami, the shear for the hide ultimately again will be dalid al dalid. Good. So those are the three shirim. Dalid al dalid if the hide is boiled, right? Quarter of a litra when the hide is moist. But once the hide has dried out, anything past that, the shear for otzah, the hide on Shabbos, will be the amount to write a kamiyah. Beautiful. Amud Beis. Klaf. Kadei lichtov alav parshe ketanis. Well, see now, interesting sugya. By a klaf. So what's the halacha by klaf? By klaf, you're chayiv. If you go ahead and you carry out enough to write a parsha ketana, a small parsha. Now, what I just want to point out is as follows. Remember again, the Mishnah over here on the Gemara that we quoted before spoke about different types of parchment, right? We saw matzah, chifa, matzah, chifa, and diftera. So I just want to point out that klaf is actually, again, we're going to see the highest level of processing of parchment that you could have. So klaf kadei lichtov ala parsha ketana. So for klaf yechayv, if you go in and you carry out enough to write, ismo parsha, says the Gemara, or minhu, reza kasha, klaf viduch sustos kadei lichtov ala nizoza. Yet Rabbi said, the reza says that klaf and duch sustos. Now Rabbi said, what's duch sustos? Rashi says, tap Rashi on the base. Klaf shenitla kli paso ha'alyona. We'll say duchsustos means a klaf where you have removed the upper level. So apparently, again, klaf is a piece of parchment, right? Duchsustos is you've removed a layer of the klaf. So the halacha is, for klaf in duchsustos, if you carry them out on Shabbos, you are chayiv if you go ahead and you carry out enough to write a mezuzah. Says the Gemara, my mezuzah. What does mezuzah mean? Mezuzah shebetfilin. So it's actually, we'll say, it's not mezuzah like you think about, like you put on your wall, but like you put on your doorway. Rather, it's a mezuzah of tefillin. One section. In this context, mezuzah means a section. What's a section of tefillin? Rashi says, Shema and Vahaya im Shamoah. So we'll say, so on Shabbos, if you carry out klaf and duchsustos, you will be chayiv if you carry out enough parchment to be able to write Shema and Vahaya im Shamoah. I, the Gemara says, "Vakarilu l'tefillin mezuzah." Do you call a section of them tefillin a mezuzah? So I'll say, really, is that like a right terminology that you go ahead and you call a parasha of the tefillin a mezuzah? And Gemara says, "Yes." Vatanya ritzuos tefillin imat tefillin metamos asayadaim ifnei atzmos. What's the interesting halacha over here? The Braisa says that the ritzuos, the straps of tefillin, together with the tefillin, convey tuma to yadam. So we'll say, so just to understand the context here, look at Rashi. Rashi says, metamos es hayadayim le'inyan truma. So let's remember again, we've seen this concept before. We saw it actually earlier in Shabbos, that halacha l'maisa, chazal were gozer, that if you touch certain holy items, usually it's in the context of scrolls, but if you touch certain items, your hands become tamei for truma purposes, right? The Bosei actually, remember again, the paradigmatic example of this was if you touch the klaf of a Sefer Torah, so your hands become tamei legabe truma. That if you touch truma, you convey truma to truma. Remember, why did Chazal do this? Chazal did this because, remember again, we had this, that they used to store truma by Sefer Torah. Because they said, it's a good chap. Why? The truma is kaddish, the Sefer Torah is kaddish. There's only one problem. What ended up happening? Mice got into the Aron Kodesh, started eating the truma, started nibbling on the parchment of the Sifrei Torah as well. So Chazal wanted to go ahead and dissuade people from this practice. So what did they do? They said, in fact, if you touch a Sefer Torah and then you touch truma, the truma becomes tamei. That ensures that people will not store truma together with their Sefer Torah. So now the Gemara says something very interesting. Rutsuos tefillin matfillin. If you have the straps of your tefillin together with your tefillin, metamos es hayadayim bifnei atzman. So you also have the ability to go ahead and convey tuma to yadayim. I'm sorry, metamos es hayadayim. They convey tuma. The most root means, if you were to go, it sounds like what it's saying is, if you were to touch the straps of your tefillin while they're attached to your tefillin, your hands become tamei for truma purposes. However, bifnei atzman, ein metamos es hayadayim. But if the straps are by themselves, then halacha lemaisa, they do not convey tuma ultimately to the hands. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Omer, Mishon Rabbi Shimon, hanogea b'retzua tahar, ad she'agia b'ktzitza. If one goes ahead and touches the retzua, touching the retzuas by themselves, even if they're attached to the tefillin, does not convey tuma to the hands. The only time the hands become tummy is if mamish you touch the bayis itself. Only if you touch the actual bayis Do halacha lemaisa, you become tamei. Rabbi Zakkai mishmo omer, tahar ad shiyiga b'mezuza atzma. And Rabbi Zakkai says, in fact, by tefillin, you're going to be tahar until what? Until you touch the parsha itself. So I will say, in fact, by tefillin, the only time your hands become tamei for tshuma purposes, so you won't become tummy if you touch the ritzuas. You won't even become tummy, hands don't become tummy if you touch the bias. Your hands only become tummy when you touch the actual parsha. But I will say, but the point for us is this, what you see, that the parsha of a tefillin is called a mezuzah. It's called mezuzah. So therefore, I will say, looping this back, so the Gemara therefore says, the Gemara is assuming that when we said before that for klaf and duchsustrus, you're only chayiv if you carry enough out to write the mezuzah. What's a mezuzah? Mezuzah refers to a parsha of tefillin. I v'hamid diktani seifa klaf kedei lichtov alav parsha ketana shebe tefillin shishema yisrael. Yet we will say, but the problem is, we said at the end of the Mishnah that what? That you're chayiv for klaf if you go ahead and you carry out enough to write a small parsha of tefillin, which is shema yisrael v'after mechlal, the reisha b'mezuzah atzmaskinan. And Rabbi say, if the Seifa says that you're going to be chayiv if you carry out enough parchment to write a small parsha of tefillin, which is Shema, then it makes sense that when it says mezuzah earlier, that's actually referring to a different kind of mezuzah, a real mezuzah. Hachi katani. Here's what it means, Rabbi say. Klaf viduch sosros bekama. Rabbi say, now again, what the Gemara is going to suggest is as follows. That perhaps klaf and duch sosros, because they are different types of parchments, meaning we'll say we're going to loosely translate both of them in English as parchment. But at the end of the day, of course, they refer to different types of parchment. Klaf en duchsustrus shiurn bekamo, duchsustrus kidei lichtov alav mezuzah. So we'll say duchsustrus, which remember again, Rashi defined as klaf that has had the upper layer removed, upper layer of the parchment removed. So for the chsustrus, you're chayiv if you carry out enough to write a mezuzah. Klaf, and when we say mezuzah, we mean what? Actual mezuzah. Klaf, kedei lichtov alav parsha ketana shebe tefillin shishma Yisrael. Klaf, you'll be chayiv ultimately, again, if you carry out enough to go ahead and write a small parsha of the tefillin. And what does that refer to? That ultimately refers to Shema Yisrael. So therefore, Rabbi say, the bottom line of the Gemara is as follows, that different types of parchment will have different shiurim. Duchsustrus, you're chayiv if you go ahead and you carry out enough of a size of a duchsustrus to write on it a mezuzah. Klaf, you're only chayiv if you carry out enough to write on it Shema and V'haya im Shamoa. Or just Shema and V'yahafta, I should say, excuse me. Amarav, so we'll say, Duch Sostros, Hari Keklaf. So now the Gemara goes weiter. Duch Sostros is like Klaf. Ma Klaf, Kos Fin Alav Tefillin. Af Duch Sostros, Kos Fin Alav Tefillin. Just like Klaf, you can write Tefillin on it. So to Duch Sostros, you can write Tefillin on it. So the Gemara says, really? Tanan. I'm sorry, Hari Klaf, Ma Klaf, Kos Fin Alav Tefillin. Af Duch Sostros, Kos Fin Alav Tefillin. Tanan, Klaf, Kadei lichtov parsha ketana shebe tefillin shehi shema Yisrael. Yet Rabbi Yosef, we learn in the Mishnah that what? For klaf, you're chayiv if you go ahead and you carry enough to write the small parsha tefillin. And what is that referring to? Shema Yisrael. Rabbi Yosef, what do you see from here? Klaf in duch sustrus lo. Rabbi Yosef, you could infer from that halacha lemaisa, it's only klaf that could be used for tefillin, duch sustrus cannot. To which the Gemara says, you're right, lemitzvah. What it means is lechatchila, you should use klaf. Rabbi say klaf is considered to be of a higher quality than duch sustrus. So the Gemara says lechatchila, you really should only use klaf for tefillin, but that's lechatchila, lemitzvah. But b'di'evah, you could even use duch sustrus. Okay, tashma, halacha lemoshe misinai, tefillin ala klaf, umezuzah al duch sustrus. Halacha lemoshe misinai tells us that tefillin should be written on klaf, but mezuzah could even be written on duch sustrus. We will say, what's the distinction between them? Listen to this. Klaf b'makom baser. So we'll say, klaf is the part of the hide that is opposite the flesh. Duch sustrus b'makom seyar. On the other hand, duch sustrus is the part of the hide, which is where the hair was. which is where the hair was. B'makom basar, d'chusur b'makom sear. So the Gemara says, le'mitzvah, sima di rabosei, even though we're saying over here that tefillin is on cloth and mezuzah is on d'chusustros, but b'di eved, if you wrote tefillin on d'chusustros, you are still yotzei. Ay v'hatanya, shina pasul. Ay, but we learned that if you switch them around, it is pasul. To which the Gemara says, amezuzah. To which the Gemara says, the psul, interestingly enough, is not for tefillin, but rather it's for mezuzah. That if you went ahead and you wrote mezuzah on cloth, that'll be invalid. Ay, v'hatanya, shina bazeo bozeh pasul. Ay, but it says if either you went ahead and you switched either mezuzah or tefillin, it's going to be pasul. The truth is, both are talking about mezuzah. So as he's talking about, again, we wrote it on the cloth, but you use the part of the cloth that is opposite the part where the hair was. Inami, or you wrote it on the duchsustrus, but ultimately, again, on the part that faced the flesh. The other possibility is going ahead and deviating by both by tefillin and by mezuzah is mechlo gesam. So we'll say, remember again, what we have over here so far is as follows. That halach l'maisa, everyone's agreeing that the ikr din is that the halach l'moshe misinai is that tefillin is on a cloth, and mezuzah ultimately again is on the chsostros. The machlokes now comes up apparently if you're going to go ahead and deviate. Disanya, shina baze ubaze, pasul. If you deviated by tefillin or by mezuzah, it's pasul. Rabbi Acha machshir. Rabbi Acha ultimately again says that it's kosher. Mishur Rabbi Acha Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Mishur Rabbi Yaakov Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Papa and Rav, Kitana de Menashe. The Tana de Be Menashe, here we go. Kosva ala niyar va'ala matlis psula. Ala klaf va'ala gvil va'ala duchsustus ksheira. So we'll say, now watch this. So we'll say, so now you clearly see we have machlokes tanoim. Because remember again, the first opinion said, shina baze u baze pasul. Whether you changed, whether you deviated by tefillin, so let's say you wrote tefillin on duchsustus, or you wrote mezuzah on klaf, halach lamaisa, again, that's going to be pasul. That's the first opinion. Rabbi Acha says that it's kosher. Then he quoted a whole variety of opinions. Whose opinion says that you could swap by tefillin and by mezuzah? So watch this. It's Ketana de Bei Menashe. What did Tana de Bei Menashe say? The Tana de Bei Menashe, Kosva al niyar v'ala matlis psula. If you wrote, Nerabosei, we're not sure what you're writing over here, but watch this. If you wrote an niyar, Nerabosei, now niyar, bepashtus means paper. Matlis means a cloth. If you wrote on paper, or if you wrote on cloth, psula, ala klaf, but if you wrote on klaf, or if you wrote on gvil, again, we'll define these terms, or on duchsustrus, it's kshera. So the Gemara says, kasvamai, what are you writing? When we say, if you wrote on cloth, or if you wrote on paper, it's going to be pasul. But if you go ahead, if you wrote on klaf, gvil, or duchsustrus, it's kshera. What is it that you're writing? So the Gemara says, ilima mezuzah. If you want to say that it's mezuzah, aklaf mi kasinon, can you write mezuzah on klaf? We just said before that halacha l'maisa, the halacha l'moshe misinai is that mezuzah is written on duchsustrus, to which the Gemara says, ela lav tefillin. Rather, it must mean tefillin. Or the tamich, tefillin agvil mi kasinon. Do we write tefillin on gvil? Well, remember again, gvil is parchment that has been treated with gallnut juice, which is usually what is reserved for Sifrei Torah. So we'll say, so ultimately, again, we just said before, tefillin is written on cloth, not on gvil. To which the Gemara says, Ella, ki tanya hi b'sefer Torah. You write, in achinami, again, that's talking about a Sefer Torah. Le misayele, so we'll say, this supports the following, ki yotzei bo, tefillin shebalu, the Sefer Torah shebala. If you have tefillin that have become worn out, or a Sefer Torah that has become worn out, ein osin mehen mezuzah. You cannot go ahead and make from it a mezuzah. Why? Lefi she'im moridin likdusha chamura likdusha kala. So we'll say, interestingly enough, if you have a Sefer Torah or a tefillin, or tefillin that have worn out, you cannot then repurpose it as a mezuzah. Why not? Because Sefer Torah and tefillin have higher kedusha than mezuzah, and you cannot go from a higher level of kedusha to a lower level of kedusha. See, interestingly enough, the Gemara is supposed to say, now the only reason why this is problematic, says the Gemara, is because Taima de Moridin. Now, the only reason apparently why you can't go ahead and repurpose a Sefer Torah or Tefillin to a mezuzah is because Sefer Torah and Tefillin are of a higher level of Kiddusha, mezuzahs are on a lower level. Yet, interestingly enough, what doesn't the Gemara bring up? The Gemara says, Ha Moridin Osin. Now, interestingly enough, I will say, if this wasn't a problem, you would be able to repurpose it. Now, this is very interesting. Why? Diksiva, the Gemara says, Diksiva Amai. Now, both say, now remember, you're telling me that the only reason you can't repurpose a Sefer Torah or Tefillin to Mezuzah is because Sefer Torah and Tefillin is of a higher level, Mezuzah is of a lower level, and you can't go from a higher level of Kedusha to a lower level of Kedusha. But one second, what is the Sefer Torah and Tefillin written on? The Gemara says, Ksiva Amai. Lav diksiva duchsostrus? Is it not written on duchsostrus? And yet you see, and therefore again, that's why it's saying that halacha lemaisa, you could potentially go ahead and use it for a mezuzah. Lo, diksiva al klaf. Right? It's written on klaf. It's written on klaf. So the Gemara says, one second. O mezuzah klaf mi kasvinon. But we just said before, you can't write a mezuzah on klaf. Right? That mezuzah is written on duchsostrus. The Gemara says, o mezuzah klaf mi kasvinon. Can you write a mezuzah on klaf? In, yes, you can. The Gemara says, Vatanya, Kosva ala klaf, Va'ala niyar va'ala matlis psula. But we just said before that if you wrote it on a klaf, on a matlis, or right, or on a niyar, it's possible. On Rabbi Shimon Eloza, Rabbi Meir, Haya kosva ala klaf, Mepnei shemishtameres. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon Eloza says, Rabbi Meir used to write mezuzah even on a klaf. Why? Because apparently, again, klaf lasts longer. It's mishtameres. Hashta da ases lahachi. Now that you say this, l'rav nami lo tema duchsustos harik klaf. Don't say that duchsustos is like klaf. Rather, ema klaf harihu ki duchsustos. Rather, say that klaf ultimately again is like duchsustos. Ma duchsustos kos when I love mezuzah. Af klaf kos when I love mezuzah. Just like duchsustos, you could write a mezuzah on it. So to klaf, you could write a mezuzah on it as well. So I will say, what turns out over here is really something quite fascinating. So halacha lemaisa, the Gemara understands as follows. The halacha lemoshe misinai is that tefillin is written on klaf and mezuzah is written on duchsustos. Sefer Torah is written on gevil. That's the order over here, right? So again, tefillin on klaf, mezuzah on duchsustos, Sefer Torah on gevil. But of course, the halacha is, those are the minimum requirements. If one were to go ahead and write any of these items, obviously, again, on a superior form. So for example, let's say gevil is considered to be the highest level because gevil, interestingly enough, is treated with the me'afatz and the golnut juice. Let's say, if you notice, by the way, parchments of Sifrei Torah look different than the parchments of tefillin and of mezuzahs. There's a certain level of shine that's there. That shine, by the way, has to do with the actual processing of the parchment itself. So again, it's Sefer Torah on gvil, tefillin on klaf, mezuzah on duchsustus. Those are the minimums. But of course, halacha lemaisa, if one wants to go ahead and write any of these items on a higher level item, then halacha lemaisa, again, one would be permitted to do so. We'll say, that being said, even if for argument's sake you did, let's suppose, but again, this is important, halacha lemaisa, if you were to even write, let's say, tefillin and mezuzahs, let's say on gvil, which is highest level parchment, halacha lemaisa, you would still not be permitted to repurpose that ultimately again for, if you were to write tefillin or sefer Torah on gvil, you would still not be permitted to go ahead and repurpose that for mezuzah, even if it was written on the right type of parchment in the right type of way. Why? Because ultimately, again, repurposing Sifrei Torah or mezuzahs or tefillin for mezuzahs would be considered to be a downgrading of the level of Kiddusha, and halacha lemaisa, that is not permitted. All right, Rabbi Yeshikah, we'll stop over here tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem. We're going to have later shir as well because Memorial Day. So Mirtz Hashem shir will still be at 7:15 a.m. I'm sorry, 8 a.m. tomorrow morning. For those who are still utilizing the Zooming in, Mirtz Hashem, it'll be at 7:15 in the morning again. Wishing everyone a wonderful day, healthy day, wonderful day. Yashikar to everyone for joining us.